But if my dad hadn't eventually carried me to a doctor who can heal broken bodies, I'd still be limping in pain today. I needed someone in my time of need to carry me to someone who could actually bring healing to my body. We know this is true when our bodies are broken. We need to be carried to someone who can heal us, or we will live with pain and brokenness for the rest of our lives. And some of you've been carried when your body's broken. You know, some of you have been injured playing sport and you needed someone to carry you off to the physio. When I played rugby in Sydney, we had a team physio. I still can't understand why she did this, but we had a team physio that looked exactly like a Barbie doll. I mean, I'd never met a girl that looked more like a Barbie doll, and she decided to be a team physio for a rugby club with five, you know, adult bloke footy teams. You have never seen so many guys pull a hamstring in one season and get carried to the physio for a rub down. I mean, there was epic proportions of hamstring injuries. You know, I gave up playing rugby about 15 years ago, but I only gave up playing touch footy a few years ago because every week we kept playing against, you know, 21-year-olds who would just run circles around me. I thought I could keep up, but my body just kept telling me I couldn't. Until a couple of years ago, a mate of mine named Craig invited me to play over 40s touch footy. I thought, you're beauty. I'm going to carve this up. I mean, these blokes are all old. You know, I'm going to set this place on fire. You know, it turns out I too am old, and people are still, you know, running rings about me. And I haven't yet had to get carried off, but close to it. You know, most Tuesday mornings after a Monday night game, I am limping around and I can hardly walk. And Susan's dad, who is the tightest man in the history of the world, when he had an injury, he didn't go to the doctor, but he went to an animal produce store, and he found this stuff called Rappi Gel that you can rub into your legs. It's designed for horses. You know, you rub it into horses' legs, and he decided it was strong, so it must be good value. Anyway, I found it in our bathroom, and so every Monday night now, I just rub Rappi Gel into my legs, and Susan says, you should go to a physio and see what's wrong with your legs, and I say, she'll be right in the morning after a good sleep. And Rob, I limp around all day Tuesday, smelling like an old horse and walking like an old man. You know, when our bodies are broken, we need to get carried to someone who can heal us, or we will walk with a limp. We'll live with pain and brokenness for the rest of our lives. But all of us know here today, it's not just our bodies that get broken and need healing. We get broken on the inside and we need healing. Our hearts get broken. And most of us blokes don't like to admit it, but our hearts get broken from damaging relationships. Sometimes our spirit gets broken from disappointment in the past. Sometimes our minds get broken, and sometimes we don't even know they're broken, from damaging words, demeaning words that have been spoken to us. And we start to believe those words, even though they're lies about ourselves. And sometimes we feel broken on the inside and we can't even explain why. But you just know that you feel lonely or depressed or empty, and you just know you won't be all right in the morning after a good sleep. Well, when we're broken on the inside, we actually need to be carried to someone who can heal us on the inside, or we'll live with pain and brokenness on the inside for the rest of our lives. Now, I want to read a story today about four mates that carry their friend with a broken body to someone who can heal him. And when he gets there, we discover he's not just able to heal broken bodies, but he's able to heal broken hearts. He's able to heal what is broken on the inside. And this guy's experience 2,000 years ago teaches us how we can experience, you know, God's healing today. And the role that we play as mates in carrying one another to the one that who can heal us. Mark chapter 2 says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people had heard he'd come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. You know, to be a paraplegic in Jesus' day in the Roman Empire meant that you didn't have a life, literally. Ancient Rome was not kind to the disabled. Handicapped babies were often left outside to die. But if you did survive, you didn't have much to look forward to. You know, your whole world was pretty much determined by a mat that you sat on. You know, this guy's life, you know, it would have been defined by a mat that he sat on, begging for people to help him. I mean, he would have sat on that mat. He would have slept on that mat. He would have lived on that mat. He would have eaten on that mat. He would have urinated on that mat. This was not an easy life. His whole life was just determined by this mat that he sat on. He had no way of earning an income for himself. He had no way of having a family. And not only that, it came with a social stigma at the time. I talked a little bit about this in one of my other talks. At the time, they believed that if you were born disabled, there was something, you know, physically wrong with you. It meant that you had sinned, or someone in your past had sinned. And so it came with a social stigma. And you weren't allowed into the places of worship in the temple. You weren't allowed into real community of faith. This mat was his home. There was no doctors that could help him at the time. There was no rehab, no physio, no surgeries. Even Rapigel wouldn't have helped this guy. I mean, his legs did not work. His whole life was dependent on someone else to feed him, to clothe him, to carry him, to change him. You know, this guy may have been a hopeless case except for one thing that he had going for him. He had four amazing friends. He had four incredible friends. Somewhere along the line, and we don't know the backstory to this, but he's developed this loving, supporting community with four guys. These four blokes were so committed to him that when they heard that Jesus was back in town, they carried him to Jesus, hoping that Jesus could heal him, like they'd heard that he'd healed others. And when they got there, they found the place so packed with people that they couldn't get in. But when they found that there was no way of getting into Jesus, they didn't give up. These guys are committed to carrying this guy. Have a look at verse 4. It says, since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and lowered the mat the man was lying on. They were so determined to see their friend healed, they carried him across town, they carried him up onto a roof, and then they were so desperate to see him healed, they dug a hole in someone else's roof and lowered him down to Jesus. I mean, I've been desperate enough twice in my life to break into my own house like this. Twice I realized I'd locked my keys inside. Susan was a long way away, and the only way, or the simplest way I could think of breaking in, was climbing up onto the roof, taking some tiles off the roof, bashing in one of the tile battens, climbing down into the roof cavity, lifting up the manhole, and dropping myself down into my own home. Now, twice I was desperate enough to get in that I went to that effort, but I've never done it to someone else's home. These guys are desperate. They dig a hole in someone else's roof because they're committed to carrying their friend to Jesus who can heal him. A few years ago, my daughter Bronte locked herself out, and we were at a wedding on the north side of Brisbane. She was coming home from work and wanted to get ready to go out to a party. She rang me, said, Dad, I don't have any keys. I can't get in. I said, I can't help you. I'm miles away. She said, can I take some tiles off the roof and jump in that way? I said, no, you can't. But it must be a family thing. You know, I've been desperate enough twice, but these guys are so desperate that they dig a hole in Peter's roof and they lower their mate down on a mat on ropes. You know, this guy doesn't have a whole lot going for him, but he's got four friends that were not willing to give up on him. They carry him across town, up a flight of stairs, dig through a roof, and lower him down on some ropes. I tell you, I just want to do something silly. Just four blokes that think they're pretty strong. Just come out here for a minute. Come on, just jump. Any four blokes. I just want us to have a quick look at the experience of carrying someone. Come on, four guys, Eddie. There's only two. I'm going to need four. One more. Come on, one more. Grab a corner. Thanks, Justin. I don't want you to go
big.
Far.
You picked a little bloke.
But I just want to see what this is like. Okay.
Where are we going?
Well, just do a little lap around the stage.
This is faith.
Yeah, take us. That's it. Up the stairs, onto the roof.
I'm gonna lose you, bro.
Oh. Okay, just pick me up one more time. Just I need to ask a question. Let me tell you, Justin's got all the insurance paid up. It's all good. Okay. Let me tell you, what's the experience for you guys carrying me like?
It's hard yakka.
It's hard yakka. This is the reality. Why don't you give these guys a big hand? Give these guys a big hand. Good man. Nah, thanks. Let me this experience, this is just what I want to illustrate. For the guys carrying someone, there's some effort to this. It's not easy. But let me tell you, when you're the one sitting on the mat, you're kind of leaving yourself in someone's hands. You're feeling a little bit vulnerable being the one that's carried. Can I say all of us here in this room, we need the experience of both. There's times we're going to be the one carrying people and it takes some effort to be that kind of mate. And we're also at times going to be the person sitting on the mat and needing some others to carry us, and that takes some vulnerability. Because we've all got a mat. This is what I want to help us to understand today. We've all got a mat. This guy's mat was obvious. Everyone could see it. He had broken legs. He had legs that didn't work, and so there was a reason that he was on that mat, and there was a reason that people needed to carry him. And I love that when they carry him to Jesus, the thing that he says that comes out of his mouth is kind of a little bit confusing for everybody that's listening. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I wonder if the guys on the roof who have just carried him across town, upstairs, down the roof, are going, "Jesus, what are you talking about? We've just gone to this effort so that you can heal his broken legs. What do you mean his sins are forgiven?" And we don't kind of really know if that's what they're thinking, but if it was me, that's what I would have been thinking. But what we do know is how the religious leaders respond in the room. Because Jesus responds to it. In verse 6, it says, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Who does this bloke think he is? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that's what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to this man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." See, this guy's obvious need was his broken legs. And Jesus healed his broken legs. You know, he was carried in on a mat, but he walked out the door. But he knew That like all of us, he needed healing on the inside. And the only way that the brokenness that he had on the inside, you know, could be healed was when he was in right relationship with God. He was a sinner like every single one of us. And he needed his sins to be forgiven so that he could be in right relationship with God. He could come into intimacy with the Father of Heaven who heals us on the inside. Who actually knows what's broken on the inside. You see, we need some mates who will carry us to Jesus, who can not only heal our broken bodies, but he can heal what's broken on the inside. You know, we've all got a mat. You know, the mat defined this guy's life. His life was restricted by his mat. His mat was obvious. His legs were broken and they needed healing. But we've all got a mat, and sometimes our needs aren't as obvious. And sometimes as blokes, particularly as blokes, we like to hide our brokenness. But we've all got a mat because we're all a bit broken on the inside. And maybe today your mat is a raging temper that gets out of control sometimes, and you don't want anyone to know about it. And you just keep living with it. Maybe your mat is a fear, like Susan talked about this afternoon, or it's an inability to trust other people, and so you live this isolated life, and you just keep in control of everything around you. You know, maybe your mat is you know, a terrible secret from your past. It's some awful thing that you did, and you just can't believe that Jesus could ever really forgive you for it, and you just constantly feel guilty about it. Maybe your mat is just a crushing sense of failure, or it's an inadequacy of some sort. You know, in Australia today, in particularly, across blokes in that 30 to 50 to age group, the imposter syndrome is huge. Blokes just feeling like, I'm inadequate, I'll never really add up. If everybody really knew what I was like, no one would trust me. And there's better explanations of it than that, but it's an imposter syndrome. People, I'm trying to hide the fact that I'm really an imposter. I'm just pretending. It's huge. Blokes just living with this crushing sense of failure or inadequacy or loneliness. I don't know what it is for you, but we've all got a mat. We've all at times. You know, we all need to be the one that's vulnerable and saying, hey, I just need some mates to carry me at the moment, carry me to the one who can heal me on the inside. And sometimes we got to be the mate who's doing the carrying. That's the kind of community that we're called to be in the church, to carry one another and in that way fulfill the law of Christ. You know, this guy did get healed because of his four friends. You know, if he didn't have those four mates that could carry him to Jesus, this guy would never have got healed. But they did care enough about him to carry him to Jesus. They didn't want their friend to miss out on what Jesus could do in his life. And if it wasn't for their determination and their boldness of four friends to carry him to Jesus, he would have missed out. I tell you, we all need four mates like this, who can carry us in our time of need. But this kind of friendship doesn't happen by accident. You know, the odds were stacked against him having any friends, yet he's got four friends who refused to let any obstacle stop them, even though they were faced with significant obstacles. Can I just be clear? People never drift into this kind of close community. It doesn't just happen by accident. We actually choose to be in this kind of community and be this kind of community. You know, one of the most countercultural statements in Scripture is a description of the early church. It says they met together daily. They worshipped together, they ate together, they prayed together on a daily basis. You know what we want today? We want first century Christian community where we see the power of God at work, but we want it on a 21st century timetable. You know, we want to do everything in a hurry and it doesn't work. For many of us, the barrier to deep friendship is actually the pace of life. You can't be in deep community with an overloaded schedule. You can't microwave deep friendships. For some of us, we're just not prioritizing these kind of friendships. And for some of us, we're just not willing to be vulnerable. We're just not willing to say, hey, I need some people to carry me right now. But we all need four friends to carry us in our time of need. And I wonder what was going through this guy's head as he was getting lowered down through the roof. He must have been asking the question, will Jesus have compassion on me? Because the religious people of the time have got no compassion for me. Does Jesus have compassion on me? And will Jesus have the power to heal me? And what we see is as he gets lowered down the roof and the story is true for all of us, Jesus does have compassion for each of us today. Whatever we're struggling with, whatever's broken on the inside, Jesus has compassion for us and he has the power to heal us one day at a time. His healing rarely happens with a click of a fingers. But as we come into close community with each other and with God, he heals us one day at a time. He has the power to heal your broken body. He has the power to heal your broken relationship with God. And he's got the power to heal what is broken on the inside. Let me just finish by saying we all need four friends. Let me tell you four friends that I think we all need. These are real friends for me. And these are friends that maybe today you need to decide to be for someone else. And maybe it's a friend you need to find to be for you. You know, when I was 19 years old, I needed a friend named Jim. You know, I needed Jim who was a couple of years older than me, and he was a follower of Jesus, and he was just an ordinary, down-to-earth bloke. He liked the things that I liked. He liked surfing. He liked footy. And he took me surfing, and we went to the footy together, and he showed me that you could be an ordinary bloke and follow Jesus with all of your heart. When I was 19 years old, Jim carried me to Jesus. He helped me to see what it looked like to be a follower of Jesus. I'm so grateful for Jim. And I wonder whether some of us right now are called to be Jim for someone else. In your workplace, in your sphere of influence, how can you actually help others who don't yet know Jesus what it means to be a follower of Jesus by the way that you invest into their life? Again, this doesn't happen by accident. It happens by you choosing to actually invest into somebody's life. I wonder if some of us can be that kind of friend. We can be Jim for somebody else. Yeah, another friend of mine who's been an incredible blessing to me, and I know he's also been a blessing to Tim, and I'm not sure whether Mark has this kind of relationship with Keith Farmer also. But Keith's a generation older than me. I was actually mates with one of his sons growing up. Keith has been my mentor for the last 12 years. Every quarter, every 3 months, he sits down with me and he just asks me some really important questions. He says, how's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with Susan? How's your relationship with kids? What's your greatest temptation right now? What is it that if you gave into it could take you out of ministry tomorrow? And how's the relationship with your team at your church? There are five simple questions. I can't believe how important those five questions have been for me in the last 12 years. This is not rocket science, people. We can all do this. You know, I reckon there's some of us here that could be that kind of Keith kind of friend. We're a generation older than someone here in the church, and we can just walk alongside them and help someone a generation younger than us actually make what's really important to God really important in our lives and keep our lives on track. I've needed a friend like Keith to carry me to Jesus over the last 12 years, and I think many of you can be that kind of friend for someone else, or some of you need to find a Keith who can be that for you in this next season. I got a friend named Andy. Andy is my age. He's married and got kids around our age, and we've done life together for the last 15 years. and he's a pretty ordinary bloke. He's a builder. He's a bit rough around the edges, to be honest, but he prays for me every single day. Every day he prays for me, and he prays for my marriage, and he prays for my family. And for about 5 years, we don't do it as much anymore, for about 5 years, every second Wednesday night, me and Susan and Andy and Kate would sit opposite each other on lounges, and we'd just keep each other accountable to have godly marriages. And I'd say in those 5 years, Andy and Kate several times saved our marriage. We needed to be vulnerable at times, and at times they needed to be vulnerable, but we carried each other to Jesus. And I just want to ask you today, who is a friend? Who is a peer like that, that you can just do life with and be vulnerable with each other, times that you'll be sitting on the mat and times that you'll be carrying the mat? But you're real with each other. You talk about your real struggles. Blokes are not good at this. I've needed Andy to carry me to Jesus many times in the last 15 years. And lastly, I got another friend named Maney, or Andrew. He's someone who works on our team at Gateway. He's a fellow pastor, and he's just a brilliant encourager. He would just come into me every morning and just say, "Mate, how you doing?" You know, and then he'd finish by saying, "Mate, I just want to let you know you're doing a really good job." And he'd say things like, "And you got to understand, I'm much more now, but back then I wasn't very in touch with my emotions." And he'd say, "How are you feeling?" And I'd be going, "What are you asking me that for? I mean, I don't know." Like, I couldn't put it into words, and I'd never had another bloke that wanted to talk to me about it. And then he just encouraged me with whatever I'm walking through. And it took me a few years we've been mates now for 16 years, but it took me a few years to realize what a blessing he was to my life. He was just a constant encourager. He constantly wanted to know how I was doing, and he constantly encouraged me. He's carried me to Jesus, and it's blessed my life. We can all do that. I reckon we all need four mates like that, and I reckon we all need to be mates like that to other people. I think that's the kind of close community we're called to in the church. We all need four mates, and we've all got a mat, whether we like to admit it or not. And we all need Jesus to heal us in body, mind, and spirit. And I just want to encourage us. We've got 15 minutes before the end of this session. I want to spend this 15 minutes speaking some words of encouragement and praying for Jesus to bring healing into our brokenness as we finish this session. But I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take some of us here today saying, "I got a mat." And I'm going to get you to do that literally today. I've got Sandra to organize a whole bunch of mats for me. And I'm going to get you to come and pick up a mat and go and stand on it just somewhere around the front of our chapel today and just say, right now there's some brokenness on the inside. And it might be loneliness. It might be the pain of a damaging relationship. It might be an addiction that you're struggling with. You know, it might be a temper that's getting out of control. You might just be at the end of your rope. There's just a frustration in your life and you're going, "God, I need you in this moment." I'm going to just invite some people to come and say, "Hey, I got a mat," and just go and stand on their mat. And then I'm going to invite us, and we may not have quite enough people to have four people gathered around us, but at least have two people just gathered around each person. And I'm just going to lead us in speaking some words of faith and encouragement over one another. I just want you to just kind of just follow my leading just for the next 10 minutes as we just listen to God for one another and speak His words of encouragement and healing and faith over one another. Because I reckon we can all do it. And I reckon it's the kind of community that will actually transform lives. It'll transform churches. It'll transform communities. Don't kid yourself that the community out there doesn't need this kind of community. It's longing for it. It just needs to see it in action. Do you know in Australia today, people are literally dying of loneliness? You know, they say today that loneliness is just having no close personal relationships is just as dangerous as smoking a packet of cigarettes a day. People are literally dying of loneliness. I tell you, we need to model it here in the church because the community out there is desperate for it and they're looking for it somewhere. We all need four mates. We all got a mat. And we all need some people who can carry us to Jesus, who can heal us in body, mind, and spirit.